Today's Shir is Masechta Bava Basra, Daf Yotes. We will begin on Daf Yotes Amud Aleph, the second line. We had learned in the Mishnah that one may not put up a Nevreches HaKoivsin, one may not put a place where they wash clothing within three tefachim of someone else's wall. Says the Gemara, Amar Rav Nachman, Amar Rabba Bavua, when we speak about a Nevreches HaKoivsin, Lo Yishono El Menachamtson. There were two parts, there were two basins in which they washed the clothing. One was the chamtzen, which is where they leave the clothing in till it soaks. And then there's the naiden, which is the place where they soak the clothing. So says the Mishnah, one may not leave, when we're speaking about the distance that we speak about, we're only speaking about the chamtzim, where the water is quiet, it's still, not being shaken up. But the place where the water is more active, three tefachim are not enough. Ava min ha-chamtzim, ava min ha-naiden, you would have to have arba amas. It says the Gemara Tanya Nami Hachi, so that we learn in a braisa, the vrech sakosin, that the distance that you have to leave the Nevreches HaKoivsin is Arba Amos, to which the Gemara immediately asks, for Nantanan, haven't we learned in our Mishnah that all we need is Shloshet Fochim? How do we reconcile the Mishnah in this Braisa? Well, Shmamino, the answer must be, as what Rav Nachman just told us, that there's a difference between the Chamtzin and the Naiden. Ika, some say that the Gemara, the way to understand this Gemara, is the Romalei Mirimi, it's a question. We learned in our Mishnah Tanan that it's Nevrech HaKoivsin, the distance between the Nevrech HaKoivsin and the wall is Shloshet Tefachim, to which the Gemara asks, Hatanya, but have we not learned the Braisa that we have to distance it Arba Amis? To which Rav Nachman Amar Ravua said, Loi Kasha, the way it's reconciled, Kam Michamtson, Kam Menaiden. There's a difference between the Chamtson and the Naiden. Says the Gemara, and now another way how this was taught. Rav Chiya Bereder of Avya Masan LeBehedya taught it to us explicitly. Ela Imkein Hirchik Mismas of Chamtson LeKoisel, that when the Mishnah speaks about the Nevreches, it's explicitly speaking only about the Chamtson, the place where the water is still. There you have to leave it Shloshet Tefachim. The Mishnah said that if somebody digs a bar next to somebody else's bar, he has to distance his bar three tefachim from the bar of the other individual. And the Mishnah then said the words v'sod besid. Now the Gemara asks, how do we understand the word v'sod besid, Tanan? How do we understand those words? Does the Mishnah mean to say, when it says v'sod besid, that it means that on top of the distance, you also have to put plaster to prevent any damage? Oy Dilma, or the way to understand the Mishnah, is Oy Sod Besid Tanan. What the Mishnah means to say is that you have an option. You could either distance the bar by three tefachim, as we just discussed, or if you don't want to do that, then what you could do is you could put up plaster. Says the Gemara, Pshita, it's quite obvious that the proper way of learning the Mishnah is v'sod besid tanan. That the Mishnah in this case means that you have to do both the distance and the plaster. For says the Gemara, Isakadatach the oisod besid tanan, if you're going to say that the way to understand the Mishnah is that the Mishnah means to say that you have an option. So says the Gemara, let's speak about the second part of the Mishnah. In the second part of the Mishnah, the Mishnah said that when you distance the gefes, the leftover olives from the wall, there the Mishnah clearly said, Oy sod besid. So says the Gemara, if the Mishnah in the Reisha and in the Sefer means that it's an option, and in both cases that the halacha is you have an option, so then why didn't the Mishnah combine the two halachas? The fact that the Mishnah did not combine it means that in the Reisha, v'sod b'sid is absolute. And there, and in the Reisha, it's not. So it's a clear proof that in the Reisha, when it says v'sod b'sid, it means you have to do both. And in the Sefer, you have an option. So according to Rashi, the way to understand the Gemara is very simple. In the Reisha, the girsa was v'sod b'sid, and in the Sefer, the girsa was oisod b'sid. Tosfos disagrees with this approach. Tosfos disagrees with this girsa, because if the wording in the Reisha and in the Sefer were different, say says, then there would be no question how to understand the Mishnah. The fact that the Mishnah was using different wording in the Reisha than the wording that it was using in the Sefer, says Tosfos, is clearly an indication that the halacha is different in the Reisha than it is in the Sefer. And therefore, Tosfos says, the way we have to learn the Mishnah is that both in the Reisha and in the Sefer, the Mishnah's wording was besed besed. But, says Tosfos, in the second case of the Mishnah, the case that we just discussed with the Gefes, the Gemara knew that there's no reason to have both. There was no reason to have both the distance and the plaster, because it's not such a significant damage that's being caused. And since it's not such a significant damage, the Gemara knew that even though the Mishnah uses the words v'sad v'sid, it means either or. All that the Gemara doesn't know is how to understand the Reisha. Does the Reisha mean also that even though the Reisha says v'sad v'sid, it means either or? Or there, does it mean, maybe it means both, or maybe it means one? So that's how Tosfos explains that the girsa of the Mishnah is supposed to be v'sad b'sid both times. Says the Gemara. Dilma, so the Gemara, as we're going to learn it, like Rashi learns, the Gemara is learning that the girsa and the Reisha and the girsa and the Sefer, the wording of the Reisha and the wording of the Sefer are not the same. And the fact that they're not the same is an indication that the halacha is different in the Reisha and in the Sefer. Says the Gemara, that isn't necessarily proof. Maybe the reason the Mishnah did not combine these two halachas is because the situation of the Reisha and the situation of the Sefer are very different. Reisha is Zeka de Muxna. The Reisha, the problem is the moisture, and Sefer, the issue is has havla, the heat that the Gefes emanates. And since these are very two types of situations, that's why the halacha is, that's why the Mishnah did not combine the halacha. So the Rosh says, our Gemara doesn't have this point have an answer to this question. So he says that the Rosh says that when we don't know if we have to do both, or one of the two options is sufficient, says the Rosh, the halacha will be that we only have to do one of the two options. The Rambam disagrees. And the Rambam's opinion is that given that the Gemara doesn't give us clarity on what to do, says the Rambam, therefore the halacha will be that you have to do both. And he says, and the Rambam and the Magen Mishnah explains what is the basis from saying that that's the way to learn, that the way to learn is that it's certainly you have to do both. So he says it's based on the wording that we just learned in the Gemara. The Gemara says, Pshita, the Sod Vasid. The Gemara says that you have to look at the wording of the Mishnah. And since of the wording of the Mishnah is the Sod Vasid, so therefore says the Rambam, to me it's obvious that in the absence of a proof that you only have to do one. If I'm going to follow the wording of the Mishnah, the wording of the Mishnah indicates that you have to do the wording of the Mishnah indicates that you have to do both. Tashma, so Gemara wants to bring a raya to this from a brisa. The brisa says, "Sela habobi yadayim, a soft stone that the earth just crumbles when you pick it up, and that's the kind of earth that's separating these two chatzeres. Zechay for bari mekan, zechay for bari mekan. Each one of them digs a pit on his side. However, Zeh Machik Shlosh Tvachim Sod B'Sid, Zeh Machik Shlosh Tvachim Sod B'Sid. So what do we see here? We have to do both. We have to have three Tvachim and also have Sod B'Sid. But explains the Gemara, why is that required? Tama, the Bab Yadayim, because we're speaking about earth that crumbles easily. Haloi Bab Yadayim, if it weren't earth that crumbles easily, loi, it wouldn't be required. So we have a raya that in a regular situation, one is enough. Says the Gemara, it's not a raya. It could be who adin dafagav the loy bab yadayim, that even if it's not earth that crumbles, nami sod besid, you have to have plaster on top of the three tefach distance. Or bab yadayim mitzuchalei. So what is this price come to teach us? The sakadat chamina kiven dabab yadayim, since it's such type of earth that crumbles. Therefore, the halacha ought to be, we should need to have a distance of more than three tvachim, kamash malon, that is not what's required. But the halacha is that you both of them may have the same halacha. We had learned earlier on Daf Yud Zayin of a base, kol mara umara mapra la'are, that every time you dig in the earth, you loosen the ground and cause damage for the other pit. So Rambam learns from this Gemara that the halacha of our Mishnah not only pertains to a pit containing water, but to a dry pit as well, because the digging is what causes the damage. So ask the Rajba if we're learning now that it's the digging that causes the damage, so why does the Mishnah, why would the plaster that we're discussing help for the digging issue? So the Rajba says that even though the Gemara spoke about the digging causing damage, it meant that there's water as well. And what the Mishnah means to say, says the Rajba, that we have here a combination of water and digging. So therefore, says the Rajba, that if we'll have a dry pit, the Mishnah is speaking about a pit with water, but a dry pit won't have these requirements. The Miri even says that even a dry pit requires distancing, but he says that by a dry pit, there is no question. The question that we have here is about the plaster on top of the distancing is only by a pit with water. But says the Miri, a dry pit, all you need to have is distancing. The Ritva, however, says, even by a dry pit, you still have to have perhaps both. He says the purpose of the plaster is to strengthen the walls as to prevent further weakening of the surrounding ground. And therefore, even in a case where it's a dry pit, the halacha will be that you have to have perhaps both. And as we quoted a few moments ago, it's a subject of Machlokes Rosh and Rambam, what is the actual halacha. We learned from, in the Mishnah, Machikir Esagefes Vesazeva Vesamelech Vesasloim, we have to distance all these things from somebody else's wall. Tanan Hosam, the Mishnah in Masech the Shabbos, Daf Mem Zayin on the base teaches us, B'mat Tamnim U'b'mat Ain Tamnim. The Mishnah says that one of the ways they used to be able to keep food hot, warm over Shabbos is that you cover it with different materials that retain the heat. So the halach is you're allowed to do hatmana, but dovish ain't a moisa hevel. You're allowed to do a hatmana with something that doesn't increase the heat, but you may not do hatmana, but dover shamoisa hevel. The reason you may not do hatmana with something which is moisa hevel, the halach is because Chazal were concerned that if you do hatmana with dover moisa hevel, you may end up doing hatmana with coals. And when you end up doing hatmana with coals, you may cause the coals to be on fire on Shabbos. So the Mishnah therefore discusses the mat tamnim ein tamnim, and the Mishnah says ein tamnim loy begefes, not with the leftover of the olives, loy bezevel, not with the manure, loy bemelach, salt, loy besid, lime, lebechol sand, bein lachem, bein yaveshim, whether they're moist or they're dry. So ask the Gemara, Mashna hachaduk tani sloim, why in our Mishnah, when it speaks about separating, the Mishnah speaks about sloim that could destroy, that could damage somebody else's wall, v'loik tani chol, and our Mishnah doesn't discuss sand. And on the other hand, Mashna hosom, when the Mishnah that we just quoted in Masechta Shabbos, the tani chol, the sand is mentioned, v'loik tani sloim, and rocks are not mentioned. Answers the Gemara, Amrav Yosef, the reason the Mishnah in Masechta Shabbos did not mention sloim is lefisha ain't darkness from the adam lahatim v'sloim. People don't use sloim for atmana, and therefore the Mishnah did not find it necessary to mention sloim. Ask the Gemara, Amalei Abaya, v'chi darkness from the adam lahatim v'gizei tzemer. Do people use wool? Well, l'shadin shagamin is a different type, purple wool, the tanya. That the Brice over there on the in Masechta Shabbos that Mem Chesom and Aleph teaches us Toimnin Begizei Tzemer or Begizei with Tzipei Tzemer, that's combed out wool, Lashon Shal Gamin, a Bemuchen, that's like balls of wool, they metatma some, but by all of them there's an issue that they may be muksub. So the question is, even though they're not commonly used, it didn't prevent it from being taught there. So we're back to our question, Elamar Abaya, Yagin Lavrei. The way to learn these two Mishnayos is that these two Mishnayos complement each other. Tana Ocha Sloim. Our Mishnah mentioned Sloim, even though, and the Halacha will be Chol by sand, even though sand is not mentioned in our Mishnah. But Tana Hasam, the Mishnah over there speaks about Chol, but who are dealing with Sloim. So one complements the other. Some are mentioned here, some are mentioned there. Amalei Rava asks Rava, if that's the approach we're going to take, so why are some mentioned here and some mentioned there? E Yagrav Leireya, if that's the way to understand the Mishnayos, so ask the Gemara, listen to Lekula B'chada. All of the examples should have been mentioned in one of the two Mishnayos. V'listen Chada Minai B'idach, and only one of the examples should have been mentioned in the other Mishnah, and then we would say that they all are the same one to the other. Ela Marava, Hanin the Tam Deloy Tani Sloim. The reason Sloim are not mentioned by Hatmana, Mishum the Mishtachil Gdeira. They break the pot, and therefore people don't use Sloim. V'achain the Tam Deloy Tani Chol. And why was Chol not mentioned that in our Mishnah? Because Chol is like a thermos bottle. Mechami chayim, what's warm, it keeps warm. Mekari, kari. And what's cold, it keeps cold. So by hatmana, where sand will keep the pot that we're putting into the hatmana warm. Therefore, we have an issue, it can't be used. But when we speak about our Mishnah, where the sand on the floor between the walls is cold, it doesn't do any damage to the wall. Ask the Gemara, for Tani Rabbeisha. Rabbeisha learned the Braisa discussing the halacha of our Mishnah. He does mention Chol, but we just explained that as far as our issues that we're learning in our sugya, Chol is not a concern. Answers the Gemara, Hosam B'Masuna. The Braisa, the Rabbeisha, where Rabbeisha mentions Chol, is talking about moist Chol. Moist chol is a problem. Hosom, but the Mishnah over there is talking about moist chol. But regular chol doesn't even mention. So ask the Gemara, if that's the case, that moist sand is an issue, so then we have a question back to our Mishnah. Tani didan nami listening. So our Tana should mention chol, and we'll understand. So look, the Muslim will understand we're talking about moist sand. And as the Gemara, moist sand was not needed to be mentioned because a ton of like a mass hamayim. We already mentioned moisture because the water canal is mentioned in our Mishnah. Ask the Gemara, so what? The fact that something moist is mentioned means that there are no other examples of moist items that need to be mentioned in our Mishnah. We know that that's not true. our Mishnah spoke about the Masamayim and also spoke about Nevaras HaKaisim. So the fact that a Masamayim is mentioned shouldn't be a reason that a moist chol should not be mentioned. Answers the Gemara, it's not the same. Hani Tzrichi, Ditan HaMasamayim, had the Mishnah only mentioned HaMasamayim, we would say that it's a problem. Mishum de Kviya, it's there all the time. However, Avon Nevarechus HaKaisim, when we speak about what we began our shiur today with, the place where the water pit where they use for washing clothing, like Kviya. Because the way it worked was, it was the person who was in the laundry business that had this Nevarechus HaKaisim. But sometimes he moves away, and sometimes he changes professions. So the Nevarechus HaKaisim is not as permanent as the Masamayim. So maybe there, Emeloy, there's no need for distancing. The water is stationary in that basin. Aval amas hamayim, which is always moving, maybe it should not be considered something that's damaging to the wall. That's why both cases, Tzrich, we had to mention, both amas hamayim and the vrechas hamayim. But that has no bearing, suggesting why chol, why moist chol has to be mentioned. There is no reason to mention. There is no reason to mention moist chol because that's already included in what's mentioned. So Tosfos, Divrei Maskil Mishum, makes a interesting point that the halacha is that our minig is that we do hatmana. Their minig was that they did hatmana in different types of stones, even though our Gemara says that they didn't do that. The reason it's not mentioned is because sloim typically break pots, and that's why people would not normally use sloim for atmana. But Taisa says a very, very important chiddush. Taisa says that our obligation is to follow what Chazal said and not to make our own new rules. And Chazal never said sloim. And since Chazal never said sloim, that sloim you can't use for atmana, even though maybe if Chazal were here today and they saw us using sloim and they saw sloim a mice of hevel, they would say don't use them. But if they didn't say it, we don't have to act differently. Very important point Taisus makes. And Shlomo Zalman Orbach discusses this in his Shaalos HaTshuvos, Yerideya Simen Kuf Chof Gimbeis. And he discusses it regarding an interesting question. He discusses, we know that wine that was processed by an akum, we may not drink. But the halach is, if yain is mavushal, then we may drink the wine, even if it was touched by an akum. Now the question is, what is considered yain mavushal? Because the question is, many wines are pasteurized. And the question Rabbi Shlomo Zalman discusses is pasteurized wine, is Yayim Mavushal an issue as far as Stam Yenam is concerned? And Rabbi Shlomo Zalman takes a very interesting approach. He says, by right, Yayim Mavushal, we should not be subject to the problem of Stam Yenam. Yayim Mefusta, pasteurized wine, it should be considered the same as Mavushal. And since Chazal didn't discuss it, so the fallback is that it's not awesome. But then he suggests that, and what would be the reason? Because there was no pasteurization in the time of Chazal. But then he says that in his opinion, pasteurization is totally different than bishul, than cooking. The reason he says is because when you cook the wine, two things happen. It diminishes its quality, and also cause the nechsa. When you boil something, you lose by evaporation some of the liquid. Says Rav Shlomo Zalman, pasteurization doesn't, because it's flash pasteurization, it's not nechsa. None is diminished, and it doesn't really lose the taste. And therefore, says Rav Shlomo Zalman, we can't call pasteurization mavushal. And the Chazal said that mavushal is not a problem. I can't consider this mavushal. But the point that Tosfos makes, that we have to follow what Chazal said, even if we think that Chazal might have said something differently given the current circumstances, doesn't change the halacha. We learned in the Mishnah, Machikinas Azroim was Machrisha. We have to distance the seeds and the plow from somebody else's wall. So ask the Gemara, Zeg, Azroim, the Mishnah speaks about the seeds, but we plow before we plant. So ask the Gemara, typically Mishnah Machrisha. Before we talk about the seeds, there's already the plowing. Answers the Gemara, Mamapoilos Yad. Our Mishnah speaking about a place where somebody plants where there was no prior plowing. Says the Gemara, so the Mishnah says, Machresha, why do we have to focus on the plowing? We're ultimately going to plant there. But typically Mishnah's Zroim, and the Zroim are already a problem. Answers the Gemara, the Mishnah was speaking about Chayush Leilonis, where you're doing plowing to improve the trees, but you're not going to plant anything there. And since you're not going to plant anything there, so there's plowing is plowing, and plowing is plowing, and putting seeds is putting seeds, and they don't necessarily speak about the same situation. And now we understand why the Mishnah spoke about Machresha, about Zroim before Machresha. We plow before Zroim. But now that we're speaking about unique circumstances, that's why the Mishnah mentioned Zroim first. But ask the Gemara, but if there's seeds, obviously there's water. And as we've been discussing, whenever there's water, we need distancing. Ask the Gemara, typically Mishamaya. Answers the Gemara, Tana Beretz Yisrael Koy. Tana is in Eretz Yisrael. The Ksila Matam Mishmayim Tishtamayim. There was no need for water. In Bavel, they had to bring water, and that's the case of our Mishnah. Ask the Gemara, Lememra Dizroim Litzdodim Kamisharshi. So now we're learning that if you put seeds there, you have to leave a distance. And the reason you have to leave a distance is because we're concerned that they're going to spread into the next wall. Ask the Gemara, is that true? Litzdodim Kamisharshi, do the seeds go to the side? For Tanan, the Mishnah Masech the Kloim Perek Zayin Mishnah Aleph teaches us Hamavrich es Hagefen Be'aretz. If somebody takes the branch of a grape tree and sticks it into the ground, covers it with earth, and like that, grapes will grow from where you stuck it in. Im ein al gaba ofer shloish tfachim. If you don't have on top of this branch three tfachim, lo yavi zer aleh. You're not allowed to bring a different type of seed there. Because by bringing a different type of seed, you're creating klayim. Because one seed, that seed, whatever you're planting, will mix with the grape branch, and you'll have klayim. The Tani Alop, and the Bryson explaining that Mishnah explains, Avazroyas et Stodim, you can't put different seeds on top of the branch. But on the side of the branch, you can. Why? Because there's no concern that the seeds will spread into the branch. So we see that seeds don't spread to the side. So why is there a concern in our Mishnah? Answers the Gemara, Amar Rav Chana B'Shem Rav Yosi. The problem with seeds is not that they spread. The problem with the seeds is Mibnei Shemachlidim Es HaKarka. They weaken the ground, or Malan Ofetichuach. And they cause the earth to get very soft. And that's why we have to distance it from the wall, because it could affect the sturdiness, the foundation of the wall, but not because the seeds spread. We learned in the Mishnah we have to distance urine. One could urinate against somebody else's wall. The Pasuk says, when the Pasuk says the punishment that the family of Achav will suffer, the Pasuk says in Malachim, V'chrati l'Achav, HaKadosh Baruch says, I will wipe out from the family of Achav, Mashnim Bekir, anybody who urinates standing, a male, V'otzer V'ozov, and all of their money and all of their animals, B'Yisrael. So we see that, how do we describe a person? The person... is described by as a man is described as somebody who urinates against the wall. But here we're saying that you have to distance the urine from the wall. And Tosfos Yontif says, maybe that type of wall is a different type of wall than we're speaking about in our Mishnah. So Tosfos Yontif says, the Gemara doesn't want to use that kind of a teretz, because a wall is a wall. Ask the Gemara, so now we learn from the Pasuk, that one may urinate against the wall. But ask the Gemara, Vanan Tanan, our Mishnah clearly said, V'smei reglaim in a kaisel, shloshe tfachim. So how do we understand this? Answers the Gemara, Hasam b'shoifchim. Our Mishnah is not speaking about urinating, it's about leaving a puddle, leaving a whole collection of urine. And since we're talking about a whole collection of urine, that's why that's what can be damaging to the wall. So Tosfos asks, if that's the case of our Mishnah, we've already learned over and over again that you can't have an amasa mayim, we can't have water, we can't have nevrachas akaisim next to a wall. If we're speaking here about water that's urine that's connected, why would we have to mention it again? So I saw two terutzim. One terutz is that maybe because of tznius, the halacha should be that we should be lenient. Another explanation and the Mishnah says that we may not. Another reason is that even people pour urine. Nobody pours urine on a full-time basis. And therefore, it's very different than the Mas Hamayim and the Nevrechus HaKoyfsin. And therefore, even though the Mas Hamayim and the Nevrechus HaKoyfsin are Osir, maybe this should be Mutter. That's why we need a Mishnah to tell us that it's... That's why we think that Shoifchin is Mutter, teaches us the Mishnah that it's not. We're going to skip the parentheses, Toshma. The Brisa teaches us, Loyashtin Mayim B'tzad Koysh Chaveroi, one may not urinate against somebody else's wall. Elm ken hechuk mena shlosh tfachim. The medvar amurim mekos levenim, wall that's made out of bricks, that's mud that's dried. And therefore, if you urinate, it'll cause it to crumble. Avol bekos lavonim, if it's a wall that's made out of stone, bechdei shlo yazik, there you have to make sure that it won't damage the wall. The kama, and therefore how much must you distance? Says the Gemara Tefach. V'shel tzuma, if it's a very strong stone, mutter. So we see from this brisa that one may not urinate against somebody else's wall. Not like what Rabbi Baba Chana taught us. Isn't this, says the Gemara, Tiyufta de Rabbi Baba Chana, Tiyufta, clearly Rabbi Baba Chana is, says the Gemara, is refuted. But ask the Gemara, how could we just so easily refute him? The Mishnah clearly said, Rabbi Baba Chana quoted a pasuk. For Rabbi Baba Chana, crawcomer. He quoted a pasuk. How can we just ignore the pasuk? Answers the Gemara, Hasam hachikomer. The way to understand the pasuk, afilu midi the darkish tuni bikur, even something that urinates against the wall, and it's not speaking about a human being. The pasuk is cursing the family of Achav. I won't leave a remnant of that. What is meant? It wasn't meant people. People may not urinate against the wall. What it means is kalba. Of course, Tosfos says that Rabbi Baba Chana could have given a different teretz. The Brice itself differentiates between different types of wall. And we could say that we're speaking about the type of wall of tsunmo that you could urinate. But the Gemara didn't want, Tosfos says, go into this type of differentiations. Amar Rabbi Tomei Bakista Amar Shmuel Rokik Einam Emat Chaloyim. In order to understand this Gemara, we have to learn that there's a halacha of Tumas Mace. A mace, a dead body or kazayas of a mace that's in a room with an oil, there's a Tumas oil. But the Tumas oil is only for that home. But the halacha is that if there's a window, that if you have two rooms that are separated, but there's a window that's in between them, so if the window is the size of a tefach, then the halacha, and the window, if there's a window has an opening of a tefach, then it passes the tumah from one room into the other room, it's going to have tumas oil. But the discussion when we speak about that is, as we just said, it has to be the size of a tefach. If we put something there into the window that diminishes the wall from the size of a tefach, the tuma will pass. And the focus of our Gemara now is about different things that could be put in that window. Will they be considered something that diminish the opening or not? And the Mishnah says, Rokik, if somebody put a wafer, because it's not something that you're going to leave there permanently. It's a food that's going to be eaten. And since it's a food that's going to be eaten, it's not going to be left there permanently, and therefore it will not diminish the opening of the window. Ask the Gemara, my erokik, why do we have to speak about a thin wafer, a filo avanami, any piece of cake or piece of bread should have the same halakha? Answers the Gemara, loy meboy kama. The way to understand what Shmuel meant is as follows. Loy di boy ova, even the exile. See, it's something that people are going to eat. Certainly loy mevatale. There's no intention to leave it there permanently. Ava rokik, the small wafer, because, and the window has moisture, and the wafer easily gets inedible. So therefore, once I put the wafer there, it's really not that edible. Ema batuli matle, once I put it there, I meant to keep it there permanently. Kamash malon, that no, it's not considered as if I meant to keep it there permanently. Ask the Gemara, but there's a different point, that there's a different reason why it shouldn't be an issue. But typically, the havalei davashu mekabel tumah. A food is mekabel tumah. And the halacha is that kol davar shu mekabel tumah, anything that is able to mekabel tumah, anything that's able to be mekabel tumah, ain't a chaitzis b'fnei tumah, cannot serve as a barrier. So this is a food, and a food is mekabel tumah. Answers the Gemara, shenilish b'mei peris. The halacha is that in order for food to be able to be kabel tuma, it has to be mukhsh l'kabel tuma. And the halacha of mukhsh l'kabel tuma is that it had to come into contact with one of the zayin mashkin. Yayin, wine, dvash, date honey, shemen, oil, chalav, milk, tal, dew, dam, blood, mayim. So if this wafer was made with mei peris, with fruit juice, it's not mukhsh l'kabel tuma. And since it's not mukshel mekabel tuma, therefore, since it's not mukshel mekabel tuma, therefore, that consideration is not a concern. So Tosfos asks, but if I take this rikik and I put it by the wall, I put it in the window, so I don't want it to be a rikik anymore. A food is not a barrier, but this is not a food. So Taisa says that in order for that to be effective, it has to be that I changed it, I physically made a change to it. Just by putting it on the windowsill and saying that I want to be part of the window is not considered significant enough of a change that it should not be considered an oichel. And therefore, the Gemara to say that's an oichel that is not mekabel tuma. Meisvei, ask the Gemara, the Mishnah Masechta Olos, Perek Vav Mishnah Beis teaches us, Klupa Malaya Tevin, if we have a box full of straw, the Chavas Malaya Groigris, or we have a basket full of dried figs, Hamanachim B'Chaloyim, if they're in the window, so Royin, Kilu, Kali Ilyu Notlu, if the backs were removed, Yecholim HaTevin V'Groigris Lamed B'Fnei Atzmam, and they would be able to straw the figs, Chaitzin. If you laugh, ain't chaitzin. But if they can't be there by themselves, then they can't be considered a good barrier, because they're considered part of the backs. And since they're considered the part of the backs, that's why we have a problem. Taisus asks a question, that why don't we say that the food here is less than a kebeya? And you have to have a kebeya to be mekabel tuma. So Tosfos answers that less than a kebeya is not mekabel tuma midoraisa, but it is mekabel tuma midorabanan, and therefore it's unlikely, therefore that wouldn't be a good barrier. Other teretz that the Ramban says is that you have to have a decent piece of food, so it must be a kebeya. But ask the Gemara, so we're learning now, if the straw could be independent, then it could serve to diminish the wall. But ask the Gemara, you could use the straw for an animal, so why does it mean that I'm living there permanently? Says the Gemara, Besaria, it's spoiled, and I'm not going to serve it to an animal. But ask the Gemara, Chazilatino, it could be used to make cement. And says the Gemara, this bekitze, the thorns. But ask the Gemara, Chazil HaSoka could be used to give for fuel. B'masuna, it's moist. Says the Gemara, Chazil HaSagodl, you can't use it for a small fire because it's moist. But if you're making a big fire, if you throw in moist straw, it's still going to burn because the rest of the fuel. And says the Gemara, HaSagodl loy shkiach. It's not common. Ask the Gemara, but Skroigris, the figs, hachazalai, they could be eaten. Answers the Gemara, amashmul b'shetrisu. We're talking about they got wormy. The chayin tani b'ravava b'shetrifa, they got wormy. But ask the Gemara, let's talk about the chavis that they're in. Hey chavis hechidami, eat the puma labar. If we have a situation where the opening is towards the outside of the window, he gufa teichetz. Why can't it be a chatzitza? The kli cheres ain't a matam begabai. The halacha is that a kli cheres only becomes tummy from interior, not exterior. So if it's the interior is not facing the room in which the tummy is in. So it's not something that's makabel tummy. Says the Gemara, we have to say the pumel agav. The opening is towards the room where the mace is, and that's why the tummy goes into the basket or into the jar, and that's why it's tamei, and therefore it can't serve as a barrier. Even if the opening is towards the outside. But when is the halacha that there's only tuma from the exterior, not by the interior? That's only by kli cheres. Well, here we're speaking about a chavis shematchis, that it's made out of metal, and metal becomes tumah from the exterior, so it makes no difference in which direction the opening is, it cannot serve as a chatzitza. And the Yad Ramah says that we don't only have to speak about something that's made out of cheres, the same halacha would apply if it was made out of, it doesn't have to speak about it was made out of metchis, it was made out of metal, the same halacha would apply if it was made out of wood. There's no difference. The tumah penetrates from the interior and exterior equally.